As we remember our Lord and Master this morning, we want to try to do so by thinking of the joy and comfort that He must have felt and that He must have remembered in His last days of trial and affliction. We want to look at the book of Isaiah mostly. We know that Christ had the ultimate familiarity with all of God's holy word, where he's able to always call on God's word in his time of trial and affliction and tribulation. And I think the words that we're going to look at this day had to be going through the mind of Christ as he looked forward, as he looked toward that day when he would have to present his body a living sacrifice. We know in Hebrews 12, verse 2, the scripture tells us that it was for the joy that was set before him that he was able to endure all of his trials and afflictions. The scriptures also state that Christ spoke as one with authority and not one as the scribes. We've been talking about that subject basically all morning, about what did Christ speak about? What did he preach? What did he teach? Luke 24, 44 and 45, the scriptures tells us that Christ opened the understanding of his disciples so that they may realize that all things that were being fulfilled about him, which were written in the law, in the prophets, in the Psalms. Luke also states that when Christ was 12 years old, he was found in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. Luke also states that all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. We know that Christ perfectly understood God's word. And when we think of these words that we want to discuss in Isaiah chapter 49, we have to think of that. These are some of the words that Christ received comfort from. This was part of the joy that was set before him that helped him endure and overcome his trials and afflictions. Surely these verses in Isaiah 49 provided Christ much joy, knowing that he had to strive to overcome the strenuous trials that he faced throughout his life. Not only the trials of the flesh that he was born into, just as we do, but the trials of knowing what type of death he had to die, knowing when that death would come, knowing the pain and the suffering and the humiliation that was coming due to the type of death that he had to suffer. Let us look at Isaiah 49, and we want to read verses 1 through 13. Think about this, brethren and sisters, young people, and friends of the truth. These are the things that provide us joy, just as they did Christ. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, and from the bowels of my mother have he made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand. Hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver have he hid me. And he said to me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb, to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation, and to the ends of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and rise, princes shall also worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth to them that are in darkness, show thyself. They shall feed in thy ways, and thy pasture shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Christ's knowledge of this particular scripture would have enabled him to endure. He knew that God would give Christ the tongue of the learned, so that he could encourage others, so that he could teach his followers and his disciples about the kingdom, about salvation, about redemption, about the royal person of the royal majesty of the kingdom being amongst them. He was taught through this scripture that he would have to have a sharp sword through his mouth. This sharp sword is memorialized in the Apocalypse. Let's go to Revelation 1, verse 16. In these verses, we read that the purpose of his mouth being like a sharp sword is to ultimately slay the enemies of God's reestablished kingdom. Revelation 1, verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Revelation 2, verse 16. Repent, or else I will come to thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And finally in Revelation 19. Revelation 19:15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Through this prophet Isaiah, Jesus Christ would have known what his mission was, what his role would be, not only in his first advent, but in his second advent. Let's go back to chapter 49 in Isaiah. You might want to just keep your place there. And verse 4, I think, gives us a very good insight into the mind of our Savior prior to his glorification. Notice what it says. I've labored in vain, I've spent my strength for naught and in vain. But yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with the God, with my God. I think this gives us very good insight into the mind of the Savior. In these verses we can see disappointment in his countrymen, and probably a degree of exhaustion by all the trials and tribulations that he had to face. Go to Mark. Keep your place there in Isaiah. Let's go to Mark chapter 3. We know that Christ was tired continually about having to constantly be at odds with his countrymen and those around him. Mark 3, 1 through 5. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal them on the Sabbath day, what? That they might accuse him. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said to them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held his peace. And when he looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Here we can see the frustration of Christ that he had with those that could not believe God's Word. Also, let's look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh to the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Even those that were closest around him at times denied him and fled from him. We can see how Christ must have been disappointed in the frustration that he felt. I think we can see how this verse in Isaiah 49 properly reflected the mind of Christ during his time of trials. If we look at verses 6 through 12 of this chapter in Isaiah, I think it gives a solid evidence of the things that must have constituted the joy of the Lord that was set before him. Those things that he would have thought about when he was taken to his death in his last hours. In verse 6, it was prophesied that he would become a light to the Gentiles. In verse 7, the prophet tells us that Christ would be exalted by God, although despised by man. Also in verse 7, it tells us that Christ would be ultimately worshipped by all mankind. Verse 8 tells us that he would become the mediator of an everlasting covenant of blessing. And also in verse 8, that he would be the giver of life from the dead. Verses 9 through 10, the prophet speaks that through the bestowal of the eternal nature, that Christ would become the glorifier of his followers. In verse 11 and 12 and 13, that he would become the restorer of God's chosen nation. Though, what promises Christ must have thought about? Those are the same things that we should think about. That those exact things of the role, purpose, the mission of Christ in His first advent, in His second advent. When we read these verses of the prophet, can we not imagine what solace and comfort that Christ would receive from this? As he realized what type of death that he had to have, the pain and suffering that he went through, the knowledge that God would ultimately fulfill his promises, his fulfillment of the promises to the fathers of Israel through this man who had to shed his own blood through the everlasting covenant. I don't think we can ever understand the depth, the courage, the strength that Christ got from scriptures such as these. As he was hanging on the stake, sweating great drops of blood, struggling with the pain and the humility that the type of death that he suffered brought upon him, these visions and others must have inspired him to say, "Not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done." It was through his complete understanding, his constant, continual application of God's Word to his life, that he was able to overcome and endure the greatest death ever suffered. As we gather around the memorial table now, as we do so each first day of the week to remember the life, the death, and the resurrection of our risen Lord and Savior, let's keep these thoughts in mind. The promises that God gave to his people, those promises that Christ will fulfill ultimately in the kingdom to come. The things that strengthen Christ are the things that should strengthen us, brothers and sisters. We all face trials and tribulations. We'll never face the death, Lord willing, that our Master suffered. These things strengthen Him. Let them strengthen us. The joy that Christ envisioned is the same joy that we will experience if we're found worthy to be bestowed with immortality and eternal life. The despair, the frustration, the tiredness, the sadness that we've experienced this weekend, the anticipated work that still needs to be done, are nothing compared to what Christ went through. Let us keep in mind the joy that was set before Him, so that we too, in our hearts and our minds, can grasp onto that joy and never let it flee from us. The kingdom is indeed nigh upon us. Let us never forget that. We're told that if we love Christ, we will keep His commandments. When we are weakened in the days that lie ahead, let us obtain this measure of strength that we need to to overcome, to endure to the end, knowing that we have a merciful, a faithful high priest sitting at God's right hand, knowing the feeling of our infirmities, knowing how we feel when we are tried and afflicted, knowing that we have a merciful and loving Father on high that will not put more on us more than we're able to bear. Let us be strengthened by the joy set before us. Let's turn over to Isaiah 12. Another passage that Christ must have thought about in his last days. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comforted me. Now, I'm not saying that God was angry with Christ. Don't take it that way. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Yahweh is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And while we're in Isaiah, turn to the 26th chapter. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open you the gates that this righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust you in the Lord forever, for the Lord Yahweh is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Brethren, let us always wait on the Lord. Let us always be patient until the great and mighty day of the return of our Lord. Let us keep these words of comfort in our mind, as Christ surely did in these days that lie ahead of us. For we know not what these days of our flesh will bring to us, but we do know thy kingdom will come, thy will established on the earth. The basis of fellowship for the Arkansas Bible School is exclusively the principles of truth outlined in the unamended statement of faith. I'd like to read the memorial account now from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23, For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.